Let's look at the screens and let's read responsively John chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. Word of the Lord. Let's welcome Greg to come and preach to us.
Thank God for Christian's special song today. It was great to hear. As he was getting ready, my mom reminded me of when I was about his age, I played on Mother's Day a special song for my mom. And so now Christian played that special song for his mom today on Mother's Day. So the title of today's message, again, a little different take on this familiar passage for us, is being disciples who reflect and realize. Our key verse is from verse 16. Can we read that all together? Okay. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. So today is our fourth Sunday of Easter and of the Easter season leading up to Pentecost. It is also Mother's Day. So like many traditions, Mother's Day, or what was originally called Mothering Sunday, began where? In the church. When Christianity spread throughout Europe in the 16th century, the special services and gatherings on this day reunited families. Children who worked as domestic servants or apprentices, who often could be as young as 10 years old, got a day off to see their moms. In the U.S., the holiday officially began in 1914, but has roots back to Civil War times. Mothers gathered with former Union and Confederate soldiers to promote reconciliation. And in the 1870s, mothers gathered to pray for world peace. It's important for us all to reflect and realize the indispensable role our mothers play in our lives and world. So today we honor the biological and spiritual mothers of our family and church family. So I want to invite all the Kids Space kids to come up. I have some silk flowers. These will not fade.
Take one and keep it. Christian,
catch on. Here, Timo, give one to Hadi. All right. So again, beyond Mother's Day and celebrating mothers, we are also here to worship, right? And consider what it means to be disciples of Jesus, who really reflect and realize and make Jesus continually relevant in our lives. Our passage today takes us back 2,000 years to the events connected with Palm Sunday, which again is usually what we do on the Sunday right before Easter. So we're in a little bit of a time vortex. We do well to remind ourselves of the basic reason that John, the author John of John's Gospel, wrote his Gospel, and why we study it together, and why we dig into it and we meditate on it in our worship services. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life." Life. Life in his name.
Amen.
Amen. So let's be ready as we spend time to think more deeply about this passage, to deepen the routines and rhythms of both reflection and active realization of God's grace and active discipleship in our lives. So we too may, by believing, find life in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite your deeper abiding spirit to speak and to stir us up. Lead us to Jesus. Help us to see how you are inviting us into something more, something bigger, something greater in our lives and world. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, identify strengths and limits of emotionalized passions. So kind of a big word there, we'll kind of unpack. In this first section, Jesus is welcomed with great patriotic fanfare and expectation. People wanted to be rescued, but on their own terms. So look at verses 12 and 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jews were crowding into the city in preparation for the Passover festival, a kind of national holiday celebrating their deliverance from Egypt. Many Jews were expecting God to somehow deliver them from the present oppression by the Roman Empire and the Roman occupation of what were their promised lands. This nationalistic fervor steered toward Jesus, who was lauded with shouts to save us. When? Now! Salvation now! That's what Hosanna means. Save us now! The blessings of teaching and healing and transformational ministry had been coming to them through Jesus for 3 solid years. And there was great excitement about it. They were ready for him to be king and to now use his divine power and authority to overthrow Rome. This deep-seated expectation of the Jews, in reality, mostly blinded them. It blinded them to really see or receive Jesus as the Savior from their sins. Even after Jesus' death and resurrection, does anybody remember what the disciples said early in Acts? "Lord, Lord, so are you at this time gonna restore the kingdom to Israel? Is now the time? The golden age of Israel is ready to be welcomed back in." We see how abiding this expectation was in this cultural context. We all have some measure of emotionalized passion in our lives. Certainly I do, you can see it already. Maybe not so much John, but it's there. He's a much more calm and stoic, solid person. An emotionalized passion is some issue or topic we feel deeply about and often have strong emotions connected to it. It can be related to areas of social justice. It may be tied to our past experience or family histories. This week in the news, we have seen such passion in the wake of this leaked Supreme Court opinion on Roe v. Wade. We see these emotionalized passions on both sides of the aisle, firing, getting fired up. We saw the results of emotionalized passions playing out in the Capitol attack in 2021 and in the race demonstrations and riots of recent years. You can ask Joan and all of your teenagers and young people, we can see it every second on Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook. These emotionalized passions finding somewhere to come out. In our passage, such passion and emotion led the crowds to rightly bring the cries of Hosanna to Jesus and anticipating his victorious rule over them. Such passion can take us into the deep heart and ministry of our Lord. Most of the nonprofit organizations that John prayed for, and we pray for on rotation, started with such passion. If you heard him today, he prayed for a ministry called Covered. So there it's a ministry of women who go in and try to help and support women who get trapped in the adult entertainment industry. Keep Watch is one I'm part of, brings prayer into public schools and throughout schools and covers schools in prayer. The Pregnancy Center started with the fight and for life and valuing life and finding a way to respect and value life. Even our own UBF organization, does anybody know how it started? We can trace the roots to the emotionalized passion of Korean college students in the 1960s. Such passion has immense merit and strength as it is correctly rooted and centered in the love of Christ. More often than not, however, such passion ends up rooting and centering itself elsewhere. The crowds in our passage centered it on their own nationalistic ideas and expectations. In less than a week, they would be part of the fray shouting, take him away, crucify him. We too tend to put ourselves, our feelings, our agendas in the center. We overly fixate on our own ideas and plans. This inevitably blinds us. We cannot journey beyond our deep-seated personal and community or even family expectations of what we want to happen in our life or in our job or with our kids or with our church. It prevents us from even having healthy dialogue with those whose opinions and expectations may be different than ours. We close ourselves off to how God may intend to orient such passion. As Katie reviewed with us last week's passage, what did Mary do? Mary centered her emotionalized passion where? On Jesus, and God revealed his intentions for her love and actions. So what is your passion? What are our passions as a community? One of mine surrounds the need for father figures for urban youth. Another is creation care and enjoyment. So I invite all of you to take a walk into the courtyard after the service and enjoy the beauty of our newly landscaped courtyard area and even our parking lot flower beds out here. One of the passions I feel has been bubbling up more and more as a community seems to be having this multi-generational worship service and community life. So look around you and see the generations that are engaged in our service today. This includes both the children here with us and the college student ministry we pray for and see signs of God's movement in our lives and in our students that are among us, like Kofi and Judah. Amen. Our emotionalized passions are something we need to reflect on and realize. They have limits and strengths. They are one of the ways to make Jesus continually relevant and integrated in our lives as disciples. Second, watch for Jesus humbly coming to reorient our lives. In this section, King Jesus enters the scene in a surprising way. Jesus sought to reorient the script of God's people, to rewrite that deep-seated expectation towards something different. It took time. We know it took time. It took additional experiences for those who were following him closely. It took intentional reflection. But eventually, the disciples' lives and expectations were totally reoriented. So let's look at verses 14 through 16. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Yes, Jesus is our humble king who enters our life and world again and again and again and again through his word, through his spirit, through his people, through the church, through creation. In this case, instead of coming on a victorious war horse or a shiny chariot, he enters Jerusalem on a young donkey, symbolizing the nature of his kingdom and rule in humility and peace. This is the foundational way his kingdom also enters into our life and world. In the smallest and humblest of ways. We can find many biblical examples of this, from the long life story and example of King David, who was the forgotten little tiny brother that wasn't even brought to the anointing, to the decision by his own father, to the parables of the mustard seed, that's the tiniest but becomes the largest of garden plants, or the yeast that has to mix all the way through the dough. So here we want to watch for Jesus humbly. And sometimes this may be what we're doing. We're looking up. But often we need to bow down instead of look up. Get on our knees. See Jesus in the very real, small, everyday things, in the way he's trying to enter into our life and difficulties. John, the Apostle John and the writer of the Gospel, like other Gospel writers, connect Jesus' actions with the prophecy from the book of Zechariah. indicating Jesus' actions both were a fulfillment of Scripture and a dramatic contrast to what the crowds expected. Only after several more years, actually, of experiences with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and thoughtful reflection on God's Word, did they realize the larger reality that Jesus was inviting them into and was beginning to open for him way back here when Jesus was still with them on earth. Nothing can really match the deep realization of God's grace and intervention into our lives and community when we have those breakthrough moments. So at first, we too may not really understand all that God is doing. Things often become more clear in the rearview mirror. But even then, we need to take time to reflect and to consider what's transpired. This is an indispensable spiritual discipline for our ongoing growth as individuals and as a community. John's commentary in his gospel here should seriously prompt us to build habits and rhythms of such prayerful contemplation of our past, what God did, what God did not do, what is written in the Bible, how people responded, how people responded differently than we expected, and so on. In this way, we become disciples who reflect and realize the bigger thing that God is doing and the grace of God that's already been being poured out into our lives. We also realize our part in Jesus' grand initiative in bringing his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We make Jesus increasingly relevant in all we do and don't do, in all we are and are not, as learning and humble disciples of the humble King and Savior Jesus. Amen. Third, translate present experiences into active discipleship. So this section gives us a little bit of balancing tension to this contemplative kind of life. This last section captures the excitement and energy of those doing their best to be on the right track with Jesus. It also shows the stubbornness and immovability of the religious leadership. Jesus does not want us only thinking and contemplating and waiting and watching and considering. He is also very pleased to see us being active in our discipleship and following his example. Look at verses 17 through 19. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Amen. Although we know that the Pharisees would eventually get their way temporarily and have Jesus killed, the divine momentum of God's saving actions for humankind could not and would not be stopped. The crowds with Jesus from Bethany, where Lazarus was raised from the dead, were actively spreading the word. Although more experiences, failure, and learning would be needed, they were translating the experiences they had in the present into active discipleship in one way or another. This is great encouragement and challenge to us. How are you experiencing Jesus these days in your home, with your family, at work, here at church? Where do you see or sense the activity of God in or around your life? How are you receiving Jesus through our Sunday services and other church community connections? How might we translate our experiences toward more active rhythms and habits of discipleship? Even one small change done consistently over time can be a difference maker for you and for all of us. We are a body, and each person's growth and deeper engagement with Christ impacts us all. So even one person's small decision to get more serious in their walk with Jesus makes us all rise up. In conclusion, it's Easter time. It's time to celebrate and spread the word about the resurrected Jesus. It's time to reflect and realize who we are, who Jesus is, and how he's inviting us into his kingdom story in the here and in the now. Let's all be disciples who see and embrace and multiply the relevance of Jesus in our lives, in our church, and in our world. Amen? Yeah. Let's read our key verse one more time. Okay? At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus, our humble King, who is constantly entering our life and world, trying to draw our attention even to our own deep passion and motivations that sometimes get overlooked or overemphasized or underappreciated. Lord, please renew our own sense of passion for you and the things that you really have put in our heart over the years. Stir them up once again. Help us to newly center them and think about them and re-put you in the middle of them and see how you are inviting us into the deeper heart of God, that the love of God may take up more room in our inner person and overflow in our lives and spread to those around us. Bless us to have more active habits and rhythms of discipleship in our lives and to encourage this and to create space for this as a community moving forward together as one. I pray all this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.